would like to take this opportunity to welcome all of our internet Roku students. Trust that all of y'all enjoyed your holidays, but time to go back at it. Is that right? Thank God for the apostle. Amen. You can see why his ministry is so successful. In all of the years that I have been knowing him, he's always pushed a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, a strong prayer life, and the anointing, which his anointing is rare, you know. And so we ought to be thankful for that. Amen. We have to learn to celebrate the men and the women that God put in our lives, watch this, to mold and to shape our character so that we can be imitators of God as we follow those who follow God. You've got to learn from somebody. Even the Ethiopian eunuch, when he was reading the scripture, Isaiah 53. Now, we say Isaiah 53, but he's actually reading the book of Isaiah. We know that chapters and verses was added by man so we can have reference points. But even when Philip joined himself to that chariot and asked that Ethiopian eunuch, he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And you remember the Ethiopian eunuch's reply? His reply was, "How can I except," watch this, "some angel teach me?" Huh? "Some God teach me." No, he didn't say that. He said, "How can I except some man teach me?" But he was more than a man. It had to be a man sent from God. You're like, come on now. It was the Holy Spirit who sent Philip out there and said, "I want you to go plant yourself there because I got somebody coming by that I need you to impart life to." So I thank God for the apostle. Father, we thank you for Apostle Thompson, for ever-increasing Word Training Center. We thank you for the things that you've done in his life. We thank you for the apostolic call that you're drawing men and women from the north, the south, the east, and the west to come up under this covering so that our lives can be enriched, so that we can grow, so that we can take up on that Christ-like nature, which is able to remove burdens and destroy yokes. We thank you that he is teaching us how we, like Jesus, must function and operate in compassion. Father, develop in all of us such a love for people that they can become acquainted with the love of God that surpasses all knowledge and all understanding. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the true teacher. We take no credit. You are the teacher. You are the one that know the oracles of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." So we thank you, Holy Spirit. And so tonight, engulf our thoughts, yes, touch our tongue, give us a hearing ear, and give us compassion. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in chapter 4, moving in the gift of revelation and prophecy, and it talks about the four realms of prophecy. And I think I've talked to you about, number one, the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. And we say that the spirit of prophecy is the what Holy Spirit's mantle. Then we need to talk about the gift of prophecy. That's the resident gift. The resident gift of prophecy. What does that mean? That's talking about those who are filled with the Spirit. You know, because there's so much confusion in the body of Christ. There are some people act like you don't need the Holy Spirit. You got all the Holy Spirit that you needed when you got what? Born again. But terms make a difference. Words make a difference. The Bible says we are born of the Spirit. See, born of the Spirit. You know, the one baptism that saves. You know, the Bible said there's one baptism. Well, we know there's got to be more than one baptism, because there's the baptism of water. Huh? There was the baptism of repentance that John the Baptist preached. Then there's the baptism of the Holy Ghost and with fire. So we know that you got to rightly divide the scripture. So in Ephesians 4, when it talks about the one baptism, it's talking about the one baptism that saves you. Well, what is the one baptism that saves you? When the Holy Spirit, upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, because you can't even come to Jesus except the Spirit is drawing you. Come on, man. I ain't nobody in here. And say, I need to make a change. Are you listening to me? So the one baptism that saves you is the baptism where you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and the Holy Spirit, upon your confession of faith, immerses you into the body of Christ, being born of the Spirit. Huh? But then there's another level. There's another realm. It's called being filled with that indwelling presence that came on the day of Pentecost. Come on now. You know, I don't care what a preacher say. Get rid of them preachers who don't know what they're talking about. Come on now, because you don't have it, you won't make everybody else don't have it. Come on, somebody. I mean, how many of y'all, I mean, is that your dress you had on? Huh? What if somebody walks you and say, man, that ain't your dress? You look at them like they lost their mind. Come on, somebody, I bought this dress, baby. I went to Saks and got this dress. Talking. Man, I didn't call Walmart. I'm around the pastor talking. I don't know about, oh, I came through that brain. All right, so I got to bring people to another level. Come on, talk to me. Amen. You know, like, you know, amen. Somebody said, well, that's not your suit. Well, this didn't come from Richmond, brother. So my name on the inside of this one. But I know nothing about tailor-made suits till I met the apostle. Because an apostle will take you to places that you've never been. You listening to me? That's if you hold fast the apostolic teaching and doctrine. So all of this is coming back to God's original plan. Are y'all with us? I'm just part of an apostolic teaching. I follow. See, I'm one of those men he was talking about. I don't have to ask nobody no permission. When he said we're going back to Christmas service, that's it. I don't know. Nobody can say nothing about it. Christmas and putting it out on the sign, on the internet. You know why I'm excited about it? Because I knew I was wrong. Yeah, I knew I was wrong. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I was one of them. I was trying to, you know, I didn't want to be traditional. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to break the tradition. I was so bent on breaking tradition, I got too far away. Thank God for somebody say, we're all going back. And we need that in our lives. So, the resident gift talks about when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, His indwelling presence. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in you, baby, you will speak in tongues. See? Because it's a covering up. His indwelling presence, born of the Spirit, is one level. Being filled with the Spirit is another level. That's the resident gift. And then there is the ministry of the prophet. That's man in function. We're talking about the four realms of prophecy. Huh? The ministry of the prophet, man in function. And you know something? The Holy Spirit anoints men to function. See, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I would not have you to be ignorant of spiritual. As the apostle is saying, it's not just talking about gifts, it's talking about gifts, administration, and operations. Huh? I'm telling you that when you get connected properly to the Holy Spirit, He anoints you to stand in these offices, then give you equipment to go with it. Y'all understand what that means? You have the equipment to function. You can't go around here telling me you're a prophet unless you got the equipment to function as a prophet. See? You don't just grab a title. Well, I'm sorry. They do that today, huh? They go to www.becomeaprophet.com. Yeah, they go, yeah, or become an apostle. Yeah, and I see y'all do that. Listen, and one night, everybody in the city, I went to bed one night, Saturday. Sunday, I woke up, everybody in the city was an apostle but me. Everybody was an apostle, and they still out there. I say they still out there. Because you call yourself an apostle, don't mean you are an apostle. I wish somebody would go to the book of Revelation and say, there are some of you who say you are apostles, and we tried and found out you were not. Goodbye. Give me your card. Why? Because only the Holy Spirit can equip you to stand in these ministry offices. That's my point. Are you with me? And then we have, finally, the prophecy of Scripture, which is called canon of Scripture, which is something I really want to get to tonight, because let me tell you this here. With all of the prophecies we have people going forth with, always remember this. All prophecy. What I say? All prophecy. What I say? All prophecy. Anybody prophesying over your life, anybody prophesying to you, it must all be judged by canon of Scripture. If it's out of line with the Scripture, throw it away. It's not going to do you no good. I see y'all kind of quiet. I know some of y'all go to those meetings, and you want a prophecy. But the most sure word of prophecy you can get is this book called the Bible. Are you with me? Okay, so let us go. We talked about the spirit of prophecy already. We'll look a little bit farther here. Talk about the gift of prophecy. Talking about the resident gift. That's B in your books. The gift of prophecy. This is the resident gift within the believer who is filled with the Holy Spirit. The resident gift of prophecy is one of the supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit through the believer. The one who possesses the gift needs only to stir themselves up or to stir his spirit up so that he can begin to prophesy. Y'all understand that? You being see, when you are filled with the Spirit and you're in a service where the Spirit of God begins to move, if you have the resident gift on the inside of you, and you start getting stirred, that's the spirit of prophecy coming up on you. But y'all know why people won't prophesy? Come on, come on. Talk to me. Y'all won't know why people they don't feel good about themselves. Most people who do not prophesy is feel like I have not reached some. Remember, I said spiritual gifts are received, not achieved. Because we found out early on in class that the Corinthian church was the most carnal church. Paul said, you're so carnal, I can't even feed you with meat. You're still on Pablo. But yet, you come behind and no spiritual gift. So in order to keep them functioning properly in spiritual gifts, in his letter to the church at Corinth, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about how these things function, operate in the church. This is not a free-for-all. You got to have guidelines. We can't have 15 of y'all to the right prophesying by 36 over here prophesying. We need some order. Let all things be done decently and in. Are you with me? All right. So, it goes on to say, now, we're talking about the gift. It says, the one who possesses the gift needs only to stir up his spirit. And let his spirit be stirred up before he begins to prophesy. Now, we talked about the Holy Spirit's mantle. We talked about when you're in a church service and you're around a prophet, let's say, and he begins to minister. Some people, if you don't have the resident gift, you have to kind of be in, you know, in that service to get inspired. Those with the resident gift can stir their own selves up. You understand what I'm saying? You know, if you're ever in a service, sometimes, I use this term, but you know, prophetic flow. Some of those young men know how to get in the spirit and begin to hit. Now, I can tell y'all something about functioning, especially when you start functioning as a prophet, because there are certain keys, Lord, you better hear what I'm saying, that's on a keyboard that can cut that gift on. Y'all see, y'all know what I'm talking about. The prophet Elijah said, bring me my ministry so that he can minister to me, stir me up, so I can deal with this spirit. Come on, talk to me. See? You need to understand that. Everything, music is not for you. I know y'all know that now. The choir ain't for you. The praise team ain't for you. All of those musicians are not for you. Those gifts are to stir up the atmosphere so that the gift that's about to come stand up there, can walk right into it and close. So any group that don't want to minister to the leader, they got to go. That's why so many musicians, so many singers get off track. Because they think they're the main attraction. Anybody come in and hear your good voice? Oh, Jesus. Don't put your head down. I'm the praise leader. Well, lead praise. It ain't about you. Good way to check them out is walk in and say, okay, that's enough. Right when they're right on it. Just, that's enough. Sit down. They get mad and lead the church. They ain't had it. I've seen apostles do this. But it's good training. Now, y'all know we wouldn't do it. Come on, talk to me. Y'all know we wouldn't do it. That seems harsh. But in training, it's not harsh. Because you got to get that horse to quit bucking. It's not about you. Y'all might as well say amen. All right. Let's talk. Well, speakers, we're right there now. Because we're going to talk about the ministry of the prophet. The prophetic ministry is not an office, but rather it is a ministry. Because an office comes by appointment, where a ministry comes through a call of God. So important. So important. So important. Notice Apostle Thompson said he was called to be an apostle. Read all of the Pauline epistles. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, not by man, but by God. You can get 99 testimonies if you want. But if the Holy Ghost didn't say, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I call them, you land empty hands on empty heads. You might feel like you called to be a prophet, but baby, certain gifts got to be in your life to stand in the ministry office of a prophet. You know, you got to have these gifts working. That's what the gift is, the equipment. Jesus said in all five four ministry offices. He was an apostle. He was a prophet. He was an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher. But the Bible says he was given the Spirit without measure. See? The fullness of the Holy Spirit. Come on, talk to me. I said the fullness, when Jesus was baptized of John in the River Jordan, the Bible says when he came up out of the water, lo, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending in the form of a dove. And the Bible says, and it lit upon him, and it remained upon him. And John said, the one who sent me to baptize said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is the Son of God. Are you listening to me? So Jesus had the Spirit, watch this, without measure. He had the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's why he can operate in all of those ministry offices, because he had the equipment to function. Now, think of what I'm telling you. Everything that Jesus did, he did it because he was anointed by God, the Holy Spirit. It's the Bible. He was a man anointed by God. The apostles say that tonight. How God, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, a man, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, watch this, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now watch this statement. For God was with him. Well, how was God with him? In the person of the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus in St. John 14 says, 14, 15, and 16, it's important for us to understand this. Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away. See? Because if I don't go away, you ain't going to be able to function like me. Because I've got to send the equipment back here. Come on, talk to me, y'all. What are you talking about? Y'all been weak. You can't do nothing until you've been anointed. He said, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter, another, a paracletos, one called alongside to help you. He said, right now he's with you. But when I send them back, he shall be in you. Come on now, listen to what I'm saying. Jesus said, I'm going to leave you, but I'm coming back. Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. I don't know why half the church is still looking for Jesus. Jesus ain't coming back. He's here. I know a lot of people are like, what is there? I said, he ain't coming back. He's here. You want to know how I know? Because he is here in the same way God was here. For it was God who was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. Well, how was God in Christ? Through the person of the Holy Ghost. Through the person of the Holy Ghost. Jesus didn't do no ministry until he was anointed. All prophets, the Spirit would come upon them. Come on now, talk to me. It was a call. You can't go to school to become an apostle. You can't go to school to become a prophet. You can't go to school to become an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher. That's a calling. The Spirit will train you in your calling. Y'all kind of quiet. And if you're connected to an apostle, he'll get you gifts out here. Y'all see, that's why this is good. I'm trying to help you now. You don't want to be out here on your own. See? You need the apostle. That's why God got this thing set up. Nobody moved in the early church without the apostle. You listening to me? Huh? And they had to continue steadfastly in the apostle's doctrine. Y'all listening to me? Every gift got to be connected to the apostle. I know they don't want to hear that. I say, I know we don't want to hear that. Come on, talk to me. Yeah, I know everybody won't function on their own. No, baby. You need to function according to how God sets stuff up. You can't change the Bible because you think you're that anointed. You got to be connected. So God chose first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Y'all got that? Who did that? All right, do we have any right to violate what God did? Okay, I'm glad you agree. Because even if you say yes, sir, I was going to say the door. Cut the internet off. I ain't forgot. Hit your Roku button. Come on, somebody. Now, watch what it says. There are two leadership offices in the New Testament church, the elder and the deacon. Why? Because those two offices are appointed by what? Men. Even though those who walk in these offices could be anointed, they are set aside by who? Men. The fivefold ministry, on the other hand, is what? God called. Who? I mean, I got to be honest with y'all. You can't think you're called. You got to know. You got to know. See, I'm going to tell you something. When the call comes, you can't take it. I don't know where some people been. I'm just being real with y'all. I can go back to the day. I know exactly where I was. I wasn't in no church service when God called me. I was pursuing God, studying behind Grandpa Kenneth E. Hagin Sr., preparing me to meet my dad. Y'all catch that? I was following Grandpa. I didn't even know Grandpa was following Grandpa. I was just following Grandpa at the time. Every day I came home from work, I had Kenneth Hagin tapes on. Every day. How to be led by the Spirit. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. All them tapes. Because I had a man who loved me enough and he bought me all of these tapes and books. I read them all. Every day. And one day in Houston, Texas, sitting at the table, minding my own business. Didn't even want to preach anyway. Thought of hell and preachers went through. You thought a hell of a preacher went through, you wouldn't want to preach either. Broke, busted, disgusted. Come on, amen. People talk about you from the pulpit, underneath the pulpit, amen. The church member love you one day when you tell them something nice and the next day they button you like a goat. I didn't want none of this to say, no. But God had other plans. And I'll never forget the day he said, I have called you to the ministry. You ready for this? An unction hit me, I couldn't explain. because I flew back from Houston, Texas, and my father put me up to teach. I thought I was going up there to teach. Lord, when I got up there, I can't explain what happened next. All I can tell y'all is something came up on me that was, I know what it was. Y'all know what it was? What was it? It was the anointing. And I began to function in things. Yeah, just function. Clothed in boldness and power. And from that day to this day, it's continued. And when God wanted my life to go farther, he sent me here. Come on, talk to me. I said, yep, so you come down now. Got to have somebody to get connected to. And God will not connect you to somebody who you think you bigger than or equal to, because then you ain't going to learn. You're going to think you can rub elbows and shoulders. See, I follow a man who can tell me anything. Y'all understand what I mean by that? When he tell me, I listen. I don't have no ifs, no ands, and no buts. Apostles say we're going right to the right. Well, y'all like that on that dance, Cuban shuffle. Yeah, to the right, you can do that. But when it comes time to follow an apostle, he say right, you say left. You want Kirk Franklin song? Nah. Okay, that's okay. I'm going to leave that alone. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about in here. Now, let's talk about, now, those five ministry offices are called offices. And you read Ephesians 4. He gave some to be apostles. You know, the Bible says when Jesus ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. You know, I think I left you with this last time we spoke. Jesus stood in all five. Huh? For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that five is the number of grace and there are five ministry offices? But God, in his wisdom, come on, talk to me now, say, I'm going to call some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. One fifth. And when you function from all five, you're up under complete grace. Y'all not talking to me. See, the church is only known pastors. But with the restoration of the apostle, who is first in time, order, and rank. Y'all better hear what I'm saying. God is up to something, baby. I ain't coming to be good rank, false apostles. I'm coming to the ones who got the real deal. We're talking about truth there. Apostle comes to that proof. I travel, I'm around a lot of ministers. I don't worry about the haters and what they say. They told me I was going the wrong way when I started following them. Well, if the wrong way is right, go wrong. Because you, yeah, you understand that song. Mm-hmm. Yeah, loving you is wrong. I don't want to be right. Well, following Apostle Thompson is wrong. I don't want to be right. If being right means being without it, I'd rather be wrong than right. The teachers in my city say, no, I'm going to leave that alone. Stop. Let me stop it. So you're going the wrong way, Ron. I say, okay. Okay. They still say I'm going the wrong way. Y'all want to know why? Prosperity. The one thing that Satan fights more than anything else. All right. So, these are called officers. These men and women are representatives of Christ. Present day ministers to the church. Their respective dimensions unfold the many facets of Christ's ministry. The prophet reveals Christ the prophet. And the New Testament pastor reveals Christ the shepherd. Y'all listening to me? See? Now they won't go to Christ. You know, the apostle reveals Christ the apostle. Same principle for all of them. Y'all got it? These men and women are representatives of Christ's headship over the church, which is his what? Body. Y'all got it? They are part of his kingdom authority and rulership. Y'all don't know how Jesus ruled in the earth around the day? Boy, y'all better listen to me. I'm here today. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. The Bible says in Jesus dwells the fullness of the Godhead.
Y'all listening to me? In Jesus, we walk the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. When Jesus walked in the earth, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the entire Godhead was in the earth realm. God dog it. Don't say what Satan gonna do. Jesus said, nobody took my life, I come to lay it down. I got power to lay it down and power to take it up. How can he be talking about that when he was going to the cross? Because it was the Holy Spirit who was responsible for quickening him and raising him from the dead. Jesus knew some stuff other ministers didn't know. They were types and shadows. Jesus came as the real deal. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead body. Oh, yeah, but here's what's about to happen right now, though. What's happening in the earth realm right now is total restoration. Jesus is the head of the church. And the church is his body. And he must remain until all of the covenant is made with you. He is the head. We are his body. And the enemy must be put up on the foot. God ain't gonna do that, baby. That's the church's job. But that can't happen until the church get in alignment. Now, if you have never had a car out of alignment, you won't know what I'm talking about. But if you ever had a car that needed a car in alignment, let the wheel go. Let's see where you end up. It will not go straight, I promise you that. Whatever way that thing went, that thing will be, and somebody don't got one mind. We're going to pay for it. We're going to pay for it. I'm going to get you a car that you don't need an alignment. Not this, well, maybe up here, but not off of where we at. We got so many potholes, you need alignment every week. But the purpose of alignment is to keep you going in the direction you're supposed to go. That's what we need. We need. That's why God put Apostle Thompson here. See, that's what I'm telling you. That every person in this region ought to be connected to this anointing. It'll do something for their ministry and for their people. But y'all know what preachers like to do, huh? Hide undercover. Because it's the real deal. I don't know what that is. That sounds like it's getting close. Okay. Yeah, I'll try to keep up with time around here. All right. I don't let that go 1 minute past, how I've rolled. Now, all right. Now, listen why I'm telling you this. The head got out the grave. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Reigning. But the body been in the earth realm sleeping. So now God has raised up the apostle. Come on. And we're restoring order back to God's church. That's why the cross come back. See? Yeah, listen to that. Y'all know the cross been missing out the church. All of us in here know that. We don't hear much preaching about the cross. No more. Amen. But apostles come to establish doctrine, keep your line upon line, precept upon precept, and to make sure you're not drifting to the left or drifting to the right. That's why God raised them up. And their anointing demands that we respect them. An apostle has a drawing anointing. Y'all listen to me? You were in the school by accident. And even if you aren't called on a five-fold ministry office, this will cause you to be one of the greatest leaders in your church. Because you will know how to submit to the flow. Even the KKK knew they were doing the wrong thing, but they said, hell, we all doing the wrong thing, and let's all be one about it. Let's cut our head with sheets or whatever. See? Y'all better hear what I'm saying. You could be doing the wrong thing in unity, and it'll work. Uh-huh. So imagine what happens if you do the right thing. Well, I ain't gonna get to the rest of this. I'll see y'all next time. I don't go overtime. I'm under orders.